From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Yesterday, Dr. Cairns commenced a series of messages on the law of God, a vital subject for both Christians and non-Christians. This is a subject about which there's a great deal of confusion. There are those who think that the law of God has no place in the life of a Christian. Others labor under the delusion that they can be saved by their efforts to keep the law. What does the Bible really have to say about God's law? In introducing this series, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the reasons why God gave the law. In the course of this message, we'll see that ignorance or disregard for God's law has resulted in a sad state of affairs in the church as well as in society as a whole. Many a church and many an individual Christian has no conception of reverence or of awe toward the God who is described as a consuming fire. As Dr. Cairns will explain, God gave the law in order to make men know that they are accountable to Him for all they are and do. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon.
Our text for this morning is found in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The two most important things in our holy religion are the life of faith and the walk of faith. He who shall rightly understand these is not far from being a master in experimental theology, for they are vital points to a Christian. You will never find true faith unattended by true godliness. On the other hand, you will never discover a truly holy life, which has not for its root a living faith upon the righteousness of Christ. Woe unto those who seek after the one without the other. There are some who cultivate faith and forget holiness. These may be very high in orthodoxy, but they shall be very deep in condemnation, for they hold the truth in unrighteousness. And there are others who have strained after holiness of life, but have denied the faith, like the Pharisees of old, of whom the Master said they were whitewashed sepulchres. We must have faith, for this is the foundation. We must have holiness of life, for this is the superstructure. Of what service is the mere foundation of a building to a man in a day of tempest? Can he hide himself therein? He wants a house to cover him, as well as a foundation for that house. Even so, we need the superstructure of spiritual life if we would have comfort in the day of doubt. But seek not a holy life without faith, for that would be to erect a house which can afford no permanent shelter, because it has no foundation on a rock. Let faith and life be put together, and like the two abutments of an arch, they will make our piety enduring. Like light and heat streaming from the same sun, they are alike full of blessing. Like the two pillars of the temple, they are for glory and for beauty. They are two streams from the fountain of grace, two lamps lit with holy fire, two olive trees watered by heavenly care. O Lord, give us this day life within, and it will reveal itself without to Thy glory.
Suspended this planet in space. to the praise of His glory as grace. To the praise of His glory as grace. Providentially ruling all things, to conform to the end He designed, He mysteriously governs and brings His eternal wise plans into time. He works out every step, every trace, to the praise of His glorious grace. To the praise of His glorious grace. To the praise of His glorious grace. We were blessed in the heavenly realm long before being included in Christ. Since we heard the good news overwhelmed, we reach forward to seize paradise. To the praise of His glorious grace. To the praise of His glorious grace. To the praise of His glory.
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Many Bible-believing churches, the most obvious and odious feature of the world today is all too often on proud display. By that, I mean the lack of any true fear of the Lord, any indication of any overwhelming sense of awe at the greatness of God, who He is, what He says. When you go to church today, you find that there is an immense distance between what passes as Christianity, even in Bible-believing churches, so-called, and what is portrayed in the Word of God. The Scriptures speak to us in Ezra 10:3 of those that tremble at the commandment, underline and understand the words. Those that tremble at the commandment of our God. Indeed, the Scripture makes it clear that it addresses its message peculiarly to those people. Isaiah tells us in 66 verse 5 of his prophecy, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at His word." Now let's be very honest. In how many churches is there a sense of fear, and I mean godly, reverential awe? In how many Christians is there a sense of this overwhelming greatness of God, the unspeakable holiness of God's commandment, that causes our hearts to tremble before Him? We are happy to have church as religious entertainment. We're happy to have church as social interaction. But oh, where is the trembling in the presence of the thrice holy God of Israel? Yet God addresses His word to those that tremble. And furthermore, according to Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 4, only such are truly ready to meet their God. Understand what I'm saying. The fear of the Lord, Solomon tells us, is the beginning of wisdom. That does not necessarily or only indicate the first step of wisdom, though I think that's included. It is the head of wisdom. It is the chief part of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. A man is a fool until he starts to fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. A man is bereft of that knowledge that is necessary to eternal life until he fears God. In Ezekiel 9:4, we have the Lord speaking to that heavenly being with the ink horn that's going around before the judgment would fall to mark out those who are safe. And he said, the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for the abominations that are done in the midst of them. We have read tonight in Psalm 19 that the fear of the Lord is clean. Solomon tells us in Proverbs 8 that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now put all this together and you will see that the absence of the fear of God, the absence of that trembling at the word and commandment of God, is very significant. It explains why and how gross sins are accepted in the church today. When God's fear is removed, when the holiness of God is not an overwhelming, heart-searching, soul-humbling reality, then men will feel that they can sin with impunity. The absence of the fear of God explains why there is a prevalence of glib, empty, meaningless professions of salvation in our churches, allied to lives that are unchanged, unclean, ungodly, and still under the condemnation of God. We have populated the fundamental churches of America with the products of an empty decision-making machine that has left their hearts in the darkness of an unregenerate state and left them comforting themselves that it is well with their souls when they yet have no fear of God. The absence of the fear of God will also warn us of the shocking judgment that Christ foreshadowed in the 7th chapter of Matthew. In many ways, some of the most terrible words in all the Bible. For these are not spoken to the products of a red communist machine. These are not spoken to the humanists and the agnostics. Oh, they'll get their judgment. But these are spoken to a Bible reading, prayer reciting, hymn singing, church attending people. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, what is the answer to such a situation in the nation and in the church? Well, we could say the answer is revival, and I'd be quite happy to say amen to that. But the Lord uses means to accomplish revival and bring His people to Himself. And in the past, in a day like the one in which we're living, in the past, the people of God have turned to a proper understanding and a proper use of the law of God. I've been thinking much about this for a long time. What I want to do, I'm not binding myself too much in advance, but what I want to do over the next number of weeks at least is to return to what I hope will be a searching, soul awakening understanding of the law of God. We have learned the hymn, Free from the Law, O Happy Condition, and we have given a meaning to it that neither the hymn writer nor the apostle upon whose words he based his hymn ever intended. God's people even are living blithely without any reference to God's law and any understanding of what it says. Now, the Bible has an immense amount to say about the law. I think I could argue quite cogently indeed that without knowing what the Bible teaches about the law, you cannot know what the Bible teaches about God, or what it teaches about grace, or what it teaches about the gospel, or what it teaches about salvation. And that makes the subject vitally important, and it shows us why the antidote to the poison of deadness, wickedness, and hypocrisy that are damning millions in the nation and in the church is in a return to an understanding of God's law. Tonight, I want us to ask the question that Paul asked in Galatians 3:19, wherefore then the law? And I want us to study for a little bit the subject, why God gave His law. Now, the text asks a question, and the Bible supplies clear answers. And what I want to do this evening, and I will have to be abbreviated in doing this, because we have taken a lot of time to get to the point, I want to make you understand why it's important that we cover this subject. What I want to do tonight is take a number of simple, but the more you think of them, far-reaching truths that will give the answer to why God gave His law. Let me say first that God gave His law to make men know that they are responsible and accountable to Him for all they are and do. The law did not commence with Moses. The law commenced with God. And He gave it not first to Moses, but to Adam.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.